Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I love doing this show. I say every single time because it's the best job in the world. And the reason I love it is because I get to interview very interesting people. You know, people I might not normally meet, but sometimes I interview someone that's, you know, closer than I think. It's sort of in my own backyard, but they do something or they're involved in something that is very, very pertinent, I would say, maybe globally, because this show goes out globally. And our guest today, her name is Lisa Thompson. Lisa is the recipient of a kidney donation. And, you know, organ donors are very special because I always see them as being sort of more part of the collective than they were before they got the organ. So, Lisa, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks, Toni. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing well and everything's functioning as well as we would want. I want to talk to you about something that we kind of talked about privately. And you had mentioned to me that during this global pandemic, that there are some issues with regard to organ donations. Organ donations are something that are somewhat difficult to obtain anyway under normal circumstances. But during this pandemic, you know, it's taken another twist and it's become somewhat more challenging. Talk to me and talk to the audience about your experience with this.
So my understanding is that a lot of people who had been set up for surgery had had their surgeries canceled or postponed because the hospitals were full of COVID patients. And many of these COVID patients, in fact, are going to be needing either dialysis or a kidney transplant after getting off of the ventilators. But the other problem is that with the hospitals being shut down, many of the transplants can't be done and the donors can't be tested because they can't go into the hospitals. And a donor that's an altruistic donor or just a friend donor, sometimes family members feel differently. Mm-hmm. But if it's a friend or an altruistic donor that doesn't even know the person they're donating to, they don't want to subject themselves to unnecessary surgery during the time of COVID because they're also going to be risking being near the virus. So that makes it even more difficult. The other thing is that many people who have been on dialysis, they're used to being on dialysis, and this is kind of an option for them. They seem to be feeling that to do, and their doctors agree, that to receive a kidney during this time is very difficult because right away after you've received a kidney, your immune system has to be suppressed, or you'll reject the kidney that you're getting, no matter how well matched it is.
Explain to the audience what it is to have your immune system suppressed.
Your immune system is really necessary in order to fight colds and to fight germs, but you don't want it to fight the kidney that you're receiving, because then the kidney has no chance of surviving in your body. Your body sees it as a foreign substance and wants to get rid of it. So we're put on massive doses of all kinds of drugs, especially day one, that, you know, many of us are on for 6 months, 8 months, a year, and then gradually we can stop taking some of those. But for the rest of the life of the kidney, we always have to take anti-rejection drugs.
Okay.
I also just heard that there's a shortage of these drugs. Drugs are becoming scarcer and harder to get because they're being used for other things at this time, and the labs are focused on making different drugs. So there's been, from what many people are saying, a scarcity. At this point, I didn't have a problem getting my last prescription filled, but that was a couple of months ago. So I'm hoping that I won't.
Yeah, I hope that you can get the next one easily. So you mentioned that when someone gets intubated because of the virus, because they have a breathing problem, that often, and correct me, Lisa, if I'm incorrect on this, my understanding is that often what happens is they suffer some problems with their kidneys.
Well, apparently it's not just the kidneys. The virus attacks your whole body systemically, from what I understand. And even being on the ventilator to breathe doesn't necessarily stop the damage that the kidney is doing to your lungs, to your heart, to your kidneys, to all the different organs internally to your body. And even if you can keep breathing, once you're off the ventilator, the rest of your organs could have been damaged during that time. And apparently, Columbia University Hospital, which is in New York City, has posted that their patients, about a third of the ones coming off the ventilator, need either dialysis or an organ transplant, typically for the kidneys. And even dialysis has become very difficult because of social distancing. So they can't have as many people in the dialysis clinic at the same time. And people have had a hard time just getting appointments at dialysis centers.
They don't have portability with dialysis at this point, do they?
Well, they do. That's a really good question, Tony. They do. Many people are able to do it at home. Especially there's many ways of exchanging the blood. I didn't do this myself. I was fortunate in getting a kidney preemptively, but you can have a tube into your stomach, and by some liquid process, you're able to get dialysis that way. And another way is that they put a fistula into your arm, and once that develops, you can get the needles that way. And then you can also get a neck or a chest cath. I had had dialysis in 2008, and because it was an emergency, they did it with a neck catheter. And I had it for 10 days. And then after that, I was able to go home, even though my creatinine was still very high, and to recover at home. And during the 10 days, of course, I was in the hospital, but I never wanted to go through that experience again. So when I was given a choice of either getting the kidney or having dialysis, I worked really hard to find the perfect kidney.
And thank goodness you got one. It's interesting to me because, first of all, I always thought that you could just take the machine and just wheel it into somebody's house and set it up there.
People can learn how to do that themselves. So they put, when they're doing the fistula, they apparently put two buttons. They're called buttons. And one is a button that's permanently situated so that the needle can go in and the blood can go into the body. And of course, the other one is situated so that the blood can come out of the body. And from what I understand, all of the blood in your body goes through the machine, can be cleansed, filtered that way, because that's the point of having the kidney, is to filter that blood. But when your kidney shuts down, of course, or is not functioning, then you need the machine to do it for you. So you can learn to do either the PD, which is through your stomach, or hemodialysis, which involves the blood in flow typically through your arm. You can learn to do that and to set that up at home, you know, and typically insurance will cover it, and people can learn how to do it. They have to have a sterile environment and really make sure that everything stays clean. But I have had friends that have done both methods at home.
It sounds unbelievable to me. I hope they never have to do it. But I am glad that it's these kind of techniques and these kind of procedures are available just in case you do need it. Now, I'm just going to remind the audience, Lisa Thompson, she's a kidney recipient. She received a donor kidney, and that's why she's so well versed in this. okay, because she's actually gone through it and had to study it for her own benefit. So you had mentioned something about people with COVID-19 being intubated. People may or may not have read on the news that basically they've discovered that the easier way to intubate people, and just so in case people don't know what that is, that's intubation. It's kind of putting in an air tube into the lungs so one can breathe. And so they've learned that it's easier to do it if they do it from the back and putting the patient on their stomach. Now, a lot of people don't realize that kidneys are on your back. So I'm wondering is that why it kind of compromises or can compromise kidney function?
That's an interesting question, and I don't really know the answer. But what I do know is when you have a transplant, they leave the kidneys intact if they can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have three kidneys. I have my two original ones, and I have the new kidney. And when they added the new kidney, they added that abdominally. So they make the incision in front of your body,
mm-hmm.
and then they put the kidney in there. And then that's hooked up to your bladder. And the other two kind of shrivel because they're not really needed anymore. But they don't do anything to disconnect them, as far as I know. They just leave them alone because it minimizes the amount of surgery involved.
Yes, and we don't want a lot of surgery if we don't have to. The ones that sit there, they just kind of sit there, atrophy, and they're like on, this kind of like they're on permanent vacation. They're in retirement. Those two kidneys, right? I hope they're happy. And they should be because they're in your body.
Well, they haven't caused me any problem.
So you're doing other things actually to sort of protect yourself, your immunity during this COVID-19 crisis. And I understand that you have an online exercise group that you've initiated that's kind of taken off. People are going because we all have to move around during this. And so it seems that there will be periods of lockdown and periods of opening. I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit of a somewhat of a rotation, at least for the time being. And so getting enough movement is an issue. I know it's been an issue for me, and I've set up sort of a little system for myself, but what did you actually share? What is this group that you have on Facebook, I believe, that you, it's friends, tell me what it's called.
So the group is called Move More with Friends.
Move More with Friends, okay.
And I started it about a month into COVID. So I think I had started it April 20th, and by June 20th, we've had 1,400 members.
Wow, that's so excellent. So how does one, what do you do? Tell me what you do.
So there's a wide variety of people that are used to moving more at gyms and yoga studios and wherever people like to exercise that cannot do it. So even a lot of people that were swimming, the pools are closed. People that are running or walking, they seem to be okay, but they need motivation. So we share a lot of online videos, and we have, like I said, a wide variety of people. So we have people that have had transplants. We have people that are struggling as a result of their transplant or some other medical condition. But then we also have marathon runners and yoga instructors and meditation gurus that have willingly shared their information, or we've taken it from YouTube or from whatever they've been posting live. And we bring it into our group, and we encourage members to bring it in also, so that we all have access from home to a wide variety of ways to move, including dancing and gardening and whatever home machines people have, that like the QB or the floor bikes. We've got a lot of yoga going on. And then we also have things for just feeling better. So we have meditation, and we have all kinds of ways of doing short little yoga classes or segments in order to de-stress, because everybody right now has been, as you know, so stressed out.
You think? You think what? Yeah, it is a stressful time. I'm being sarcastic, Lisa. So you have different types of exercise that you can do. What's the most popular with your group?
Very excited about the new offering of drumming and moving. It's called Rhythm Bliss, and it's just fabulous. It was featured on a TV channel during this time so that people could have a way of de-stressing. And it's just wonderful that we're able to offer that as well.
Oh, that's excellent. And I think drumming, a lot of people are into drumming. I know people who are into that, you know, and there's something very meditative about it once you get into it. So would you have like a specialist conducting that part of Move More with Friends, or do you just, how do you present it?
Well, I found it and by a special invitation, and I did it. And then when I liked it, I invited her to join the group, which she did. She's going to be offering a lot more in the future.
That's excellent. How do people find you if they want to find Move More with Friends? Where do they go?
It's a lot of word of mouth. So if somebody posts an ad, I will send an invite to every person that responds to that ad. So it's been kind of tough to get people to find it. I guess through shows like this, hopefully people will be inspired to move more with us.
I think it's important to have this kind of thing that you have. I think that especially for what we're going through now as a collective, I think it's really important to stay in motion and have some kind of a routine or some sort of a ritual that you do that has to do with your exercise, even if it's just four yoga poses every day.
I kind of selfishly started it so that I could get motivated, so that I could be reminded to move more. And moving right now is so important to me personally in order to stay as healthy as I can. I never really move as much as I could or should or would if I had a gym open, but many people are finding that this is a really good alternative until, you know, they find other ways of doing it.
So the advantage of your particular, you know, Move More with Friends on Facebook is that you don't even have to leave the house if you don't want. You can still...
Exactly.
So what are they, like videos or that you put up? I mean, I imagine you'll share this video with the group and put it on Facebook so people could find you. Is that something you thought about?
You know, being that we've talked so much about moving, I think I will share it. But typically I would share it to my personal feed instead of sharing it in the group. But I think that the group members would be thrilled.
Yeah, you know, because I support things like this. This is like a really healthful thing to do. It's a healthful thing to do during this time where a lot of times I imagine there are people that become somewhat immobilized just because of what's going on. I mean, you know, some people are inspired to do things because of something that's unforeseen like this. But then there are many people that become immobilized and they do nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, I know creative people who just completely shut down, but then there are the creative people that completely blossom through this. But then in terms of moving, needless to say, there is a little cabin fever spreading in terms of, you know, the epidemic of cabin fever that's going on right now. And it sounds like you've got a good alternative to it. You know, it's something you can do even because it's the winter and it's snowing out and you can't even get out or whatever.
You know, or a lot of places are way too hot and people like it for that reason, that they're inside and they don't need to go to a gym and they can still keep moving.
The only air you're going to breathe is your own. If you come in and if you go on the computer, turn it on and there it is. It's right there for you. So how often is it posted perpetually? Like all these different things are just up there so people could go to the page and just kind of pick and choose.
Exactly. And everything gets coded. So if there's a person that just wants HIIT, H-I-I-T, HIIT, you can click on the tag for HIIT and all the HIIT entries or posts will come up.
Oh.
And we've had so many posts in the past 2 months that it's very hard to find them otherwise. You know, or for gardeners, gardening is moving.
Yes, it is.
And that's the name of one of the topic posts. So people can go to gardening and all of those pop up, you know, so whatever it is that interests you at that moment, you can find on there. The other thing is that we do a weekly weigh-in, and people don't have to do it, but if they want to do it, and if losing weight is something that's important to them, it's available. And if somebody comes up with a new idea and we haven't had it, but it's important to them, we'll add additional tags. So yesterday, I think I added fitness workout, or I added, every day I'm adding something.
Tell me about the weigh-in. How do you weigh somebody?
Right. So typically what we would like people to do, this doesn't happen that often, but for people that really want to be motivated to lose weight, I personally found that the best way is to take a picture of your scale each week and post the picture.
Yikes. That's scary. So scary.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably why people aren't doing it. People are saying, you know, I lost 14 pounds in the past 2 months staying home and moving more. And they're happy to be able to post that.
I don't think I'll be doing the weigh-in.
Your weight's great, Tony, but there was this one woman that through the use of our group is finally under 200 pounds.
Wow, good for her.
So she's moving more, she's eating better, she's motivated to think about not putting the junk into her body in order to stay healthier. And when we talk about immunity, there's several things that are important, and a good diet and sleep and moving are the top ones. And keeping your body without stress. Stress will actually make the immune system work less.
Yes, I know about that personally.
And a lot of people are feeling more connected by having a group to go to and having somebody respond to them when they post things or they say something. So I'm on there a lot trying to, you know, just stay connected with people, letting them know I'm always there.
Interesting. I personally, you know, I don't really talk about my things so much, but I'll tell you, I personally love technology. I really do. I'm not a complete like technical genius or anything, but I enjoy it because I find that technology really brings us together.
Exactly.
There's something very nice, and I have some friends that resist it, but they don't understand the thrill it is. It's if you've been like sort of like isolating yourself for X number of weeks.
X number of months. It's been a long haul.
Yeah. And then and you haven't talked to somebody. And I find also a lot of people that you haven't talked to maybe in years will all of a sudden want a video chat with you. And that's a beautiful thing, where before you never really thought about it so much. So you didn't call, big deal. But all of a sudden they want a video chat because they're isolated, maybe with other people, like another person. And it's just you and that other person or their family. But when you're like solo, you might be used to it as an artist, but there's a thrill to go and do like a video chat with someone that you haven't seen in a long time. And you can do it globally. Move with friends, I think that would be excellent. It's like a global thing.
We have people that are members from all over the world. One of our members is from South Africa. And actually yesterday he offered a beautiful meditative piano experience. It was so good. He just said, lay back and breathe and listen. And it was so, so moving. It was wonderful.
You don't even have to move. You just lay there and listen.
Exactly.
I had a friend from Israel sent me a Qigong, special immune Qigong workout, which is really very excellent. And I see that there are people doing yoga videos. So I imagine you can go onto this Facebook page and you can find all of these different things. It's like a plethora of wellness ideas that involve movement.
I hope that you come and join us, Tony. We have Qigong, we have Feldenkrais, and Jon Kabat-Zinn is being featured this week. We have, you know, there's so many people that are, you know, willing to let us post their videos. And it's just been a wonderful experience.
I thought I was a member.
If you join, then you're welcome to stay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
It's hard for me with 1,400 people to know everyone that has signed up. It's so funny.
Yeah, no, but I think it's an excellent idea. And I think for people that are concerned about their immunity, especially with this virus, it's like really, I mean, I'd like to see you invite like people who have recovered from COVID to come and join, you know. I think it will evolve.
The problem is I want to invite like the kidney community to come. But when I go and I share an invite on the kidney Facebook group, they make me get off the group. You know, there's rules in these Facebook groups and they don't want any promoting. They don't want any advertising. You know, and I agree with that because as an administrator of a group, I don't want that either. But in the meantime, you know, I would love to have people from all these different disability groups come and join us because they need it.
Yeah, the MS Society.
Exactly. But it's very hard to convince them that I can be on their Facebook page, especially if I don't have the condition.
The irony is, though, you know, Lisa, and really think about it, is that it's very likely that the people from those groups are probably going and checking you out anyway.
I hope so. It's a private group at this point, though, Tony. We did a poll of our members, and everybody wanted to go private. So we had been public, and we've since become private. But unless somebody joins as a business name or tries to join as a business name, I accept everybody. So if people try to join, they're in almost, you know, immediately. I'm on a lot, probably too much.
Well, you know, it's your group.
And it's been giving me something to do during this tough time.
You're leaving like really good positive, you know, vibe on this thing. I think it's a really good thing you're doing. You know, you're doing, it's almost like charity. You're just offering it like this. I know some people are, but I think that if people realized, say they have a school, a dance school or something, and they realize that they might be able to actually get people to come to the school or take their lessons. I don't know. I mean, it's your group, but I think they think if you're spamming it, like you're just doing it for, because it doesn't cost anything to join your group, right?
Right, right. And we make sure, that's a good point. We make sure that everything that's in the group is free to the members of the group. We don't post anything, you know, that would have a price attached to it.
Right, exactly. Although if people made donations, maybe you'd be able to do, you know, get the move more with friends' website, you know. But we'll stick to Facebook while it's still free. So you've actually taken your situation and turned it into a totally positive thing and been able to help yourself, because I know I did have a conversation with you about walks you were taking and how challenging it was.
Well, they're still challenging.
Yeah, it's challenging, but I think the fact that you've decided to reach out and help others through this as you're helping yourself, I see that as good karma. So what do you see for the future for your group? What would you like to see ultimately?
For the group itself, I'd like to see it grow. And for members to feel more comfortable posting and sharing and not having it all kind of be generated by me. I keep encouraging more people to post. And there are a few that have started and to post more. And I think that's really good.
I think that it's really good that you've been able to accept the reality of your situation with regard to immunity and step up and do this. As opposed to a lot of people, I've seen this because I've known other people who have received kidneys and they didn't accept the reality of the situation that you really have to take excellent care of yourself because you're taking care of that kidney and you.
And it's not just, you know, that, I mean, it's my kidney now, but I feel like I owe my donors and I have two of them. Most people just have one. But I had, I don't know if you're aware of how I got my kidney. There was a woman who I've since been in touch with, recently in touch with. We didn't meet each other until I got her letter on May 11th, this May 11th. And she lives in Arizona and her kidney is inside me. But the person that enabled kidney to be inside me is Ed. And Ed and I had entered a paired exchange program, not knowing that we were actually part of a chain.
Oh.
Carrie's kidneys in me, and Ed's kidney is not. It's in a man in Boston. And the man in Boston's friend donated, and apparently his kidney is in somebody in Seattle.
Wow.
So it's called a chain.
Chain.
Carrie has her doctorate in pharmacology, and she was working with all of these drugs, and she felt determined to start a chain and help as many people as she could. She didn't want to just do a direct donation. So she was thrilled to be able to find us. And it was a remote donation. So her kidney was taken at UCLA, and then it was flown overnight to New York, and I received it the next morning. And Ed's was the same way. They took his kidney. They took his out the same time I received mine, and his was flown to Boston. And many hospitals are not set up for what's called remote donation. So it's very important that my hospital did remote and also did paired exchange. And I want to, you know, put a plus in for NYPYL Cornell, because not too many hospitals in the New York area are set up for it. It's very important that listeners make sure that the hospital that they're involved with is NKR, National Kidney Registry, signed up. So let's say that there's around 100 hospitals that are doing transplants, and something like 25 of them are through NKR. Those numbers may be somewhat higher. I'm not sure of the numbers, but it's a fraction that are. And in the New York area, there were only two, and New York Presbyterian at Weill Cornell was number 9 in the country at the time that I did this for being paired. And they were only one of two in the city that were doing remote. So I fortunately ended up at the right place.
Things just fell into place. I kind of remember when you got this, and it was a little edgy at first. We weren't so sure, and people were a little bit frightened for you, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything came together. You know, so I think that during this time of this pandemic, for everything that we're going through, it's amazing that anything can happen at all with regard to organ donation. I think the focus is so scattered right now in so many ways. At the same time, the focus is really on the virus.
Well, we have heard that right now, they are just starting to reopen the transplant centers. And one of Ed and Beth, his wife, one of their very close friends just received a kidney yesterday. And they had an adopted daughter that gave her kidney. She was not a match. Her kidney, they went through paired exchange, and it all happened yesterday here in New York. So we were thrilled that it's starting to open up again, and that everything went well for them. And it's also very important that if you're told, if somebody trying to get a kidney transplant is told that, you know, there's 120,000 people on the UNOS list, and it's going to take them 10 years to find some deceased donor that is going to be available to them, it's very important at that point to start looking for a kidney yourself. And there's a wonderful website called simplekidney.com. That's also something that we can't put onto the kidney Facebook page. They keep throwing it off, but it's called simplekidney.com. And the person that made my website, in order that I had 30,000 people looking at the fact that I needed a kidney, gives very simple instructions on this website for how people can look for their own kidney. And it's very important they make sure to let their team know they want to do paired exchange or a chain in order to get that kidney as quickly as possible. You know, they may have a friend that wants to give for them, and is able to give for them, which is, you know, takes a lot of testing in order to determine that anybody that wants to be a donor is healthy enough. But once that's determined, it doesn't matter if their blood matches or not. What's important is that the two of them enter into the paired exchange program through NKR program. And if their hospital doesn't do it, they need a different hospital, because there's no reason that anybody should be waiting 10 years in order to go through dialysis for all that time in order to then get a kidney. And what often happens, the longer they're on dialysis, the less likely it is that their body is going to be healthy enough to receive a kidney.
Right. You know, and I've seen some things, people on dialysis. Dialysis seems to beat up the body pretty bad. So we're almost about to close out on this, but let me ask you a question. What was it like when you met your donor?
So are you talking, well, you're not talking about my paired donor. You're talking about the real donor,
the
right?
The real donor.
I had written to her in February. She never got it. And she had written 5 times to me. And it wasn't until May 11th, which is an interesting day, because May 11th, 2 years before that, was the day I was finally told that I was accepted to the kidney transplant program at Weill Cornell and put onto the UNOS, U-N-O-S list for somebody who is waiting for a donor. So she had tried to contact me even before going through the transplant, and they wouldn't let her. And finally, the paired transplant coordinator called me on May 11th and read me the letter. And after I stopped crying, it wasn't a sad letter. I was thrilled. I was ecstatic, but it was like tears of happiness and joy that I was finally going to get to meet her. She's fabulous. She's a mom. She travels all over the country. She's got two grown girls. She's very close to her family. And she feels like I'm already family, because I've got her baby, Callie, which is what I named her kidney, inside me. So she's thrilled. And we're now friends on Facebook. We have each other's phone numbers. We're doing things like this together. She's very interested in advocacy work, and it just could not have been a better experience. We were all on a Zoom video together with my partner Jeff, and Ed and his wife Beth, and a reporter that's doing a story on us, and Kerry. So there were like 6 of us on, and it was just such an uplifting experience. And after the reporter was done, we stayed on for like another 2 hours just talking about everything. And we're just so happy to have finally met each other.
I'm really glad for you. I'm so happy for you. It must be really interesting to know you're carrying someone else's like DNA inside of you.
And
you
didn't, exactly.
You didn't have to do anything, you know, really. It fascinates me, the whole thing.
Yeah, she was asking me whether I have food cravings. So the two things that she wanted to know about were chocolate fudge and salsa and chips. And what was interesting to me is those were two things I already loved and I still love. But what I think that I have now with her being inside me is her love of life and her determination and her perseverance, and those are all traits that I think in me have been heightened as a result of having her body in my body.
Well, I'm so happy for both you, and obviously she's generous. She gave you a piece of herself, and she doesn't even know you.
Well, she does now. She does now.
She does now. We'll have to get you back on to talk more about and like a follow up. But I'm really happy for you, Lisa, and I'm gonna wish you all the best and thank you. You have like all this plethora of information that you actually, and you're not like official researcher for this, but you did your due diligence for the sake of getting yourself healthy. I think a lot of it has to do with that. You really stepped up to your own plate and you made it happen for yourself. And, you know, you met somebody nice that did something to actually basically save your life. Who knew? Total stranger. So on that note, I'm going to say thanks, Lisa, for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Tony. I really, really appreciate it. And thanks to all your listeners for being here.
Thank you again, Lisa. And thanks, audience, for listening once again to another great episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe. And I'm looking forward to bringing on the next guest. There's always going to be someone new. And I look forward to getting your feedback. Please feel free to email me at TonyQuestTV@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing your impressions of everything, even suggestions. I love to hear from you all. And you can find me on LinkedIn.com. Search me, Tony Quest, on LinkedIn. That's where I hang out. I write a lot of articles on there. And a lot of people communicate with me. You can email me there as well. And I'll say thank you and bye-bye. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.